taking a look at a scripture that's found in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. One of these great scriptures, and I love the book of Isaiah. I love the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2, looking at the first five verses of Isaiah chapter 2 as we begin this season of Advent. When I was a little boy, if you had asked me, or when someone did ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? My typical answer, especially as a little fella, my typical answer would have been, well, I want to be Mighty Mouse. I loved Mighty Mouse. You know, here we come to save the day. Remember that? Yeah. I loved Mighty Mouse. Can you do that? Yeah. I loved him. He was always ready to go and save the day. Now, when I was a little older and got a little older and a little up more, you would ask me and I'd say, well, I want to be Superman. Or I want to be the Lone Ranger. It really just kind of depended on what show I was watching at any particular time. And I just loved the masks. I just thought, how cool would it be to wear a mask where nobody really recognizes you, but you can go and do things for people and help people, and you can save people and save the day in that way. I've always been kind of a dreamer like that, you know, and I guess we all are, maybe to a certain extent. We all kind of dream of being a type of person whose life matters. Being a person who does things in their life that kind of makes a difference in the world. And I really haven't, honestly, in 60 years almost, haven't honestly changed very much. I'm still a dreamer. And there's really nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being a dreamer. My wife always calls me her responsible dreamer. Because, you know, if you're not careful, your dreams can kind of get out of hand if you're not responsible with them and responsible about them. But I think being a dreamer is very important in our lives. Now some listening to me right now, some may think it's foolishness. Some may think, well, that's just whimsical or childish to dream in that way. But the truth is, do you know what you have to have in your life in order to be a dreamer? Do you know the one ingredient that you have to have in life if you're going to be a dreamer? Hope. You've got to have hope if you're going to be a dreamer. If you have no hope, how can you dream of something that might be better one day? If you have no hope that Superman can leap tall buildings or that Mighty Mouse can save the day, then why would you even dream of being that person and doing those things? Hope is essential to be a dreamer. Hope is the foundation that we place our dreams on. Now, I'm not just talking about the wishful thinking kind of hope, because there's really two kinds of hope, at least. There's this wishful thinking kind of hope, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about true hope that we can have. We can say, and we say it all the time, and you're probably maybe even saying it today, I hope the Panthers win today. Now, that's probably wishful thinking. Right. But they're playing the Redskins, so it's possible. There's a foundation for that hope. But I hope things. I hope that the traffic isn't too bad when I go shopping later in the week. Or I hope it doesn't rain next weekend. We say these things about hope, and all of those hopes are really, they're hopes, but they're really just kind of wishful thinking. Just like dreams have to be based in hope, hope has to be based in something. Hope has to have some sort of foundation, or is nothing more than wishful thinking. Hope has to have some sort of foundation that is something that's going to be there, something that's going to last, something that's going to always hold it up. If we hope that it doesn't rain next weekend, for that hope to be real, then we have to have faith in the weatherman and his or her ability to predict the weather next weekend. And if we have strong faith in that weatherman who can predict the weather next weekend, then we can probably have some true hope that the weather's going to be okay next weekend. But if you know the weathermen like I do, that's also kind of wishful thinking a lot of times. They tend to get it wrong quite a bit. A dreamer must have hope to dream, and true hope has to be built on something special. True hope has to be built on a faith, something that is eternal. Without it, it's just wishful thinking. You remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1? You remember what it says? It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That Greek word for substance is the word hypostasis. Hypostasis means like a stanchion or a foundation or a cornerstone. Our faith is the foundation that we place our hope on in the things unseen. Our faith must be placed on something that is firm, that is going to be there, that is solid. Our hope is built on that foundation of our faith. So you see, it's just kind of, it's kind of interesting to me when you think about it, how it kind of all works together. How it works so that if you want to be a dreamer and to be able to dream and to have a vision for a better future, a vision for something better in this world, then you've got to have hope. If you're going to be able to have that dream and that vision and to have hope, you have to build that hope on a certain type of faith in something. And that thing you're building that faith on has to be true, has to be real, has to be everlasting, has to be guaranteed. It has to be something like a wonderful counselor. Maybe something like a mighty God. Something like an everlasting father or a prince of peace. Something like maybe a baby born in poverty in a manger. Or maybe in someone called Emmanuel, God who has come to be with us. One of the reasons I love Isaiah so much is because he was a dreamer. Isaiah was one of the greatest dreamers, and he wasn't a dreamer like wishful thinking kind of dreaming. He was a dreamer based on true hope that was based on his faith in the true one and living God. I love to read what Isaiah says. Now, he handed down some pretty rough words from God to these people at times, but in Isaiah chapter 2, he gives us this great view of his dream. Chapter 2, beginning with the first verse, it says, "This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. He said, 'In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it.'" Isaiah is looking at Israel, and he's saying, "Hey, Israel, listen here. I've got a dream. I want to share my dream with you, my dream based on hope, my dream based on the faith that I have. I know right now you're afraid, Israel. I know right now you're worried about being attacked. You're worried about invasions. You're worried about captivities. You're worried about war and worried about all these bad things that are going on around you. And you're just waiting and waiting and waiting for Messiah to come because you think Messiah is going to come and immediately set up his throne and take care of all these enemies, take care of all this stuff and fix everything. He's going to be like Mighty Mouse. He's going to come and save the day." Isaiah says this Messiah is coming, but he says, you know, you remember what Joel said. If you look back in Joel chapter 3, the 9th verse, Joel said to these people, these same people, "You prepare for war. You arm yourselves," he said. "You beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears." Joel said, "Take the stuff you use to make food and make weapons out of it because you're going to have to go to war. The world's an awful place and you're going to have to defend yourself and protect yourself. You better circle the wagons and get ready for war because it's coming." But Isaiah said, "No, listen to this dream. I have a dream. I have hope. A dream of a different way of doing things. Because a day's coming in the last days, in the latter days. The day is coming when this temple is going to be on the highest mountain. when people are going to flock to it, when nations are going to stream to it and want to be with this one who has come, the Messiah. Look at verse 3. Many people will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of God, of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Isaiah has this dream, and his dream is built on this hope, that's secured on this foundation, which is the foundation in God. And he says, I know the world is a messed up place right now. Sort of like today, right? The world's a messed up place right now, but the world's not always going to be this way because somebody's coming who's going to bring justice to all of this. This one who is coming, this Emmanuel, this Jesus is coming, this one who will be God with us. And once he comes, there'll be no need for all this anymore. He's going to fix it. He's going to bring justice to it all. There'll be no more greed. No need for it. We're all just going to be his children. There'll be no more violence. There'll be no more need for weapons or war. We won't have to study on how to do war anymore. It won't need to happen anymore. Because he's our hope. He's our foundation. He's what we base our hope on. So we can dream. We can dream of the day when it can be this way. Isaiah is saying that, I know the world's kind of a messy place right now, but all the evidence points to the fact that the world's a messy place. There's wars, and there's rumors of wars, and there's people who are mocking God, and people who just refuse to come to the temple, and people who just refuse to believe that Christ is the Messiah. All of this is going on. So it's easy to look around, and in our world today, it's easy to look around and say, is there really hope? Is there really any hope for all of this that's going on? Isaiah says, yes. It's not wishful thinking. Yes, there is hope. Stop building your hope on things that aren't eternal and build your hope on this one who is. Stop building your hope on fallible people who are going to disappoint you. Stop building your hope even on your own strength and thinking that you can do it by yourself because you can't. Isaiah says it's okay to dream, isn't it? Isn't it okay to dream? If you have those dreams based in that hope that's based on that faith, isn't it okay to dream in that way? What's wrong with dreaming of a world where people don't fly airplanes in the skyscrapers anymore? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with thinking the world could be that way? What's wrong with dreaming of a world where kids can go to school and always know without a doubt they're going to be safe? Always. What's wrong with dreaming that that could happen? What's wrong with dreaming of a world where there's not any more violence or greed or prejudice or hatred and all these horrible things that people do in the name of some God that they know? Because we're just all his children, right? We're all the same. We just realize we're all the same and we're all just his children. What's wrong with dreaming of the world where kids don't have to worry about where they're going to eat next meal? Kids don't have to wonder if they're going to get dinner or if they're going to get breakfast or if they're going to have something to eat tomorrow. What's wrong with dreaming of a world where the church has a voice again? A world where the church has relevance in the world again, and the world where the church comes together united to take a stand and say, here's where your hope needs to be. You're just doing a bunch of wishful thinking. I think one of the great problems we have in our world is we have a bunch of people who are placing their hope in things that are crumbling around them. We have people who are placing their hope in things that are just going to go away, where moth and rust can destroy. We're placing our hope in things like prestige and power and position and money and where we live and what we drive. All of this stuff that on the day when your day comes and you breathe that last breath will absolutely mean nothing. Will mean absolutely nothing to us. That's where we're placing our hope, though. This Advent, don't do that anymore. Look in your heart. Where are you putting your hope? Put your hope in this one who is eternal. This one who has come to walk just with you because he loves you that much. This one who has come into the world to be here with you. And then when you place your faith, your hope on that faith, then let's dream together. Let's become dreamers again. Let's dream of being a church like God wants us to be the church. Let's dream of being the church that truly reaches out and shows that hope to the world. Let's be the church that reaches out and shows this world that there's a better way. Like Isaiah said, there is hope. Don't look around at the circumstances and think it's over. There's nothing we can do. Be a dreamer. Be a dreamer with hope based on that foundation of Jesus Christ. That's being the church. That's who Christ wants us to be as the church in this world. Want to be a dreamer? Stop wishful thinking and decide, where are you going to place your hope this Advent season? Let's bow for a moment of prayer together. Father, thank you so much for hope. Father, thank you that you show us in our lives every day this world that needs to know your hope and your peace and your presence in their lives. God, forgive us for those of us, and we're all guilty at times. Forgive us for the times when we have placed our hope in things other than you, thinking that they will carry us through and then recognizing that they just never will. God, we hope. God, we dream. And we hope and we dream because you give us that opportunity. Thank you, Father, for being that firm foundation. Thank you, God, for being that rock on those days when life just seems so hard. Thank you, God, for being that rock that never moves, is never shaken, is never shifted. That rock that always stands firm, that if we'll just place our hope on it, if we'll just place our hope on it, as the church, if we'll just place our hope on it, think the dreams and visions we could have for a better world, for a better community, for reaching people for Jesus Christ. God, help us to look in our hearts and place our hope in you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.